Yeah, dude, by 8 a.m., that's usually the time that I fall asleep. Before then, I'm just like, my brain is like, what are you, a pussy? It's only 6 a.m. And then I like fight through the delirious tired. I'm like, there's another documentary you could watch, you know?
Hilarious. Yeah, yeah, it does that to you, fam.
Yeah.
You end up looking around going, well, shit, I plan to be in bed by 3 o'clock. How is it 5:30?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, fucking, ladies and gentlemen, we got Nico White. In the building, repeat offender.
Oh my God. Pleasure's mine to be back on, man. What's the name of the show now? Is it still the Lev Fur Show? Is it something different?
We change it every day. It's very trans. You know, we're very fucking LGBT over here.
Okay.
Now, that's the Lev Fur Show now. You know that. Don't be a fucking dickhead.
I'm not being a dick. Don't be so defensive. I'm literally just asking because I think the name changed on Instagram or something like that. Next time, yeah. I won't care to have any interest in it. Yeah, you know I'm saying it's just gonna make you upset.
What are you doing? You holding a cigar there?
No, this is not a cigar. You know what I'm saying? Cigar size, but this is a blunt.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Are you smoking pot?
I am. Oh my God.
I didn't take you for the pot type.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Well.
Well, didn't you like used to not smoke weed?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that's what I thought. Now you just now.
Like,
you,
like what? 3 years ago, I want to
say. Oh, okay. It's been that long.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Time flies. You got to remember, this coming up on what? Year, last year, this would be what? The second year of COVID and all that shit. 2020 is just like deleted, bro.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fucking. I guess quarantine would be a good time to fucking start smoking pot, too.
Oh, I was smoking before then. It was just one of those things where, shit, y'all ain't know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, I can't smoke anymore, but my fucking, I got like a. Every time I used to smoke, like, it was great until it wasn't, you know what I mean? And then, like, it freaked me the fuck out.
Yeah.
Like, I got hit with, like, some fucking radioactive pot, dude. I was on, like, another
planet. What does that mean? That shit, what, radioactive weed is not weed.
Dude, something fucked me up.
Something in there, bro.
Yeah, I got fucked up. And, like, then I all of a sudden I had to, like, do a year of self-therapy and shit. I was on the moon, man. Like, legitimately. Bro,
they gave you something different. They gave you K2, nigga.
Dude, but the crazy thing is, I smoked with, like, two friends of mine. And I talked to them.
They ain't give it to you?
No, but I talked to them after. They were like, no, like, that was just insanely good weed. Like, they were like, yeah, we were high the next day. And I was like, well, the next day I was, like, having a fucking panic attack, like, that I've never had. And I'm, like, sitting there, like, do I call an ambulance, like, freaking the fuck out.
My first time I ever had an edible did me like that, man. And it wasn't even like a big edible. I had, what, maybe 15 milligrams the first one I ever had.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, real, really, really weak in comparison to what I can take now. But like, my God, man. I had that. I got off the train at 110th Street and legit got turned for a loop. I didn't know forwards and backwards. I bent down in front of the fish market because I felt like I was standing up too high, like I was gonna tip over.
Oof.
So yeah, man, them first edible journeys can be wild depending on how you how you're expecting it to feel.
Yeah.
As a person that really had only ever had something to drink before all that, it was like I'm expecting to feel like something akin to being drunk. No. You feel like you're flying.
Yeah.
Like that feeling when you're on a plane and you're on your way to the bathroom, but you didn't know that you were going to run into some turbulent air. That feeling.
Yeah, dude,
you
know, I did.
You in the middle of the street trying to catch yourself when there's nothing to hold on to. Goofy.
Dude, it's funny you say that because the one time when I was like 19, I did edibles at a party. Mm-hmm. And apparently I was just like walking around to people and whispering like, I've never been more aware of my balance.
Like, you've never been more what?
Aware of my balance.
Yeah, man. It'll
you
do
feel
that
like the individual muscles in your feet, like, turning to gravity. It's fucking...
Straight up. You never felt the toe before your pinky toe before. Until you had that first edible. And it's like, oh, this is what it feels like when this moves independently? Yeah, man.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went, like, fucking stoned out of my mind. We went and watched a horror movie, like, in theaters. It was, like, midnight. And I'm terrible with horror movies. But for some reason, the edible just hit me in the right way. And I was just like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I'm just here, you know? I think what causes that, like, pot freak out for people, because almost everybody I talk to is like, oh, I had that same thing. They're like, weed fucked me up for a while. And
I'm telling y'all on some different shit.
Dude, weed is too strong. Like, I if weed was like how it was assumingly back in the day, when people would just smoke it all fucking day and hardly be high, I would smoke pot. But then
wouldn't you be wasting your money?
Yeah, but it's not even about that. You know what I mean? It's just like I would want like a 10% high of just like very chill, hardly know the difference, just a little gigglier.
You know what's funny? You might, and it's crazy because I only know this now. You might have had a sativa and it got you like paranoid, you know what I'm saying, and all that shit, as opposed to having an indica, which is like the body high.
Yeah.
A sativa, if I would have started smoking sativas, I probably never would have kept smoking.
Dude, I swear to God, after I hit that main puff, I took two fucking deep hits, right?
Mm-hmm.
After that, I like legit.
Two deep hits, huh?
Dude, I'm telling you, you've never seen some shit like this. My eyes.
Let me show you. Not only have I seen something like it, I can promise you I've seen something.
Have you ever had like your vision is just black? Like,
no, I've never smoked crack before.
Okay, so you see what I'm saying? Like, my vision was black, and I just, like, my brain was processing, like, it looked like a movie reel. Like, every frame rate of life was, like, 2 seconds slow. It was, dude,
yeah.
It was fucked,
and,
man. It was
and,
fucked.
You smoking.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, wait, what strain was that?
Dude, it was some insane shit. And, like, it fucked me up so bad. And
you
think
it's some insane shit. You know what's probably going to scare you? When you find out what it was. And you realize it was like a regular strain, like Girl Scout cookies.
It probably was.
Which happens to be my favorite strain. So if anyone is listening to this, you have a hookup.
Yeah.
Girl Scout cookies, send me some. Not that you can, of course.
Dude, I think what causes the freak out, though, for a lot of people is like you get the hit with this new sensation, this new feeling of like, and it punches you in the fucking face.
Yeah.
And what happens when you start freaking is you're fighting that feeling. Is you're going like, I want to control it. I don't like
and
this.
And that's not going to be present for you, dog.
Yeah.
I had to learn that. As somebody that loves to be in control, it's like, oh, yeah, you can try to control this all you want, but you're going to send yourself to the hospital.
Yeah.
Walking around the crib, doing stuff like putting my hand in my under my shirt, testing my heartbeat, knowing I wouldn't know how to tell if my heart is racing or not.
Yeah. And just thinking about it is going to like start boosting your heart up, dude.
And I'm a hypochondriac. You know what I'm saying? A couple years ago, mom told me, she's like, you know, you're going to show up to that goddamn emergency room. They're going to keep your ass because they're going to think you're crazy.
Yeah.
Running in there because I had, what was it? I thought I had appendicitis or something, right? Because when I was a kid, it's funny how shit stays with you. When
I was little.
You ever watch that show, Different Strokes? With
I don't think I've seen it. No.
Old sitcom from back in the day, bro. And I watched that. He used to come on Nick at Night. So I watched that. And one day, he went to something with the kid. And that motherfucker's like, ow, ow. And it was his right side, lower ribs. And they took him to the hospital. He had to get his appendix taken out.
Yeah.
So since I was about 9, I always thought if my lower side was hurting, that's what it was. So for like a stretch of a week or two in 2016, I don't know what it was, but I had these sharp-ass pains, like, right here. I'm talking about, like, right here.
Right,
you know
right.
What I'm saying? Your appendix is here.
Yeah.
And then I went to Metropolitan Hospital twice for that shit. The second time, the nurse was so fed up, she said, young man, lay down. Like, I'm like, okay, lay down. She said, where does it hurt again? I pointed to where I just pointed and showed you. Nigga, she took her fingers. She made them shits extra sharp in them gloves and just mashed that shit into wherever my appendix is and pushed that shit. She said, you see that? I'm like, yeah. She said, now, when I pull my hand up, tell me if you feel a radiating pain. She pulled her hand up and I'm like, I don't feel a radiating pain, but that didn't feel good, yo.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So...
With funny me, she's like, I don't even work here. And then she just walks out.
that would have been scary. Yeah, I mean, I had a situation with a doctor like that on April Fool's Day one time. And it was one of those things like, yo, if they said they didn't work here, Like, if they just had that comedic timing,
yeah,
they would fuck up the rest of my year.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I try to stay away these days.
Yeah. Dude, fucking, I was just thinking.
Hold on, wait. I'm sorry to cut you off, brother. Real quick. This is the voice memo I sent you yesterday, by the way. Every time I come on your podcast, it's right after some sort of bullshit.
I know.
Like what we got recently. Last time I was on, it was after the George Floyd stuff. And now it's after the failed coup d'etat.
Yeah. The failed the coup d'etat.
Do you plan this? Like, when do you get the notifications to Trump shit and go, all right, we're going to have Nico on the week after that? Because I was supposed to do this last week.
Yeah, no, I have an app. It's called Panic Black Guest. It's whatever.
No, let me tell you something. Not only am I not panicked, bro. I don't know if you were on like Twitter, but like I'm so calm right now.
Yeah,
I'm so calm.
I think we all kind of are, though. You know.
Well, apparently not, my nigga. all of us are not calm.
Well, this week was purely coincidental, but because I tried getting you and Phil Hunt on recently, but honestly,
I should have the homie.
Yeah, I love Phil, dude.
One of the greatest.
He's so fucking funny.
Like, but, yo, y'all, if y'all don't know who he's talking about, it's a fucking comedian.
He's been on the pod.
He's been on? Yo, go re-listen to that episode, then.
Dude, Phil's so, he'll come on and, like, throw out, like, a fucking defense of Michael Jackson, and that'll just be so funny. Just, like,
yeah.
Just, but he has the best takes.
I agree. The takes are one thing, but the jokes, my nigga. He put out a special, you know, on Vimeo. We'll find out a joint. It's called Philosophy at the Apollo.
Yeah.
Homie has a joke on there about the Stephon Clark situation. It's so good. It's one of the few jokes that I've seen that makes me mad that I didn't see it first.
Who is that?
Phil Hunt.
No. Who's Stephon Clark?
Oh, he's somebody that the cop shot.
Okay. Anytime there's like a name that you don't know now, you just have to assume cops shot him.
I mean, you know, they do that. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of how they get through their week sometimes.
Yeah. Well, no, I brought you on this week because you fucking dropped a special recently.
Oh, man. So tell them about that.
Yeah, you fucking... Nico shot this really fucking cool thing where instead of doing a special in front of a crowd, because you can't fucking do that right now, he just went in a fucking recording booth in a studio, videotaped himself talking to the mic like it's a fucking Jay-Z acapella track. And it's just such a cool concept. It looks visually great. You know, I assume it's fucking hilarious as always.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on YouTube. What's the name of it? Dark Out, right?
Ladies and gentlemen, the title of the special is Dark Out. It's my it's the most different than I've ever delivered any of my comedy specials before. You know what I mean? Because of the circumstance, we couldn't have audiences.
You know? Right.
And it's funny where you get inspiration from, right? I was sitting up and I was watching a Lil Wayne documentary. And, you know, homie doesn't write his lyrics. He goes into a studio and just spits.
Yeah.
So I saw him doing that for the Band From TV track off the No Ceilings mixtape from like 10 years ago. That's one of my favorite songs, one of my wake-up tracks. So I'm watching that shit and it's like, I want to say it's June. It's either early June or about to be July, one or the other. And I'm watching that and I'm going, man, why can't I do something like that?
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? Because I was so pent up, you know what I mean, with everything that was going on and not being able to talk about it. And then it's like I had shit where it was like last year, if I'm going to do a special, okay, I'm going to do a special. So I know I'm going to get rid of this chunk of material.
Right.
So when I had the idea, and it's like, well, shit, I was supposed to do a special regardless in 2020. Why not?
Yeah. How hard was it to record, like, just you doing the jokes alone, figuring out the timing?
Got you. That part wasn't as hard as I thought it was going to be. What was hard was just getting used to not hearing the reactions back.
Right.
Right? So after I... After I saw the doc, I reached out to a comic. This is a friend of mine. Like, yo, what do you think of this idea? And homie was like, I don't get it. And that made me go, okay, good.
Yeah.
So I reached out to Mike Lavin, right? Homeless pimp.
Right.
And
right.
When I hit him with the idea, he agreed. He liked it a lot. He got what I was saying. So from there, we went to the homies at Pinch Recording Studios. They were down to do it. And he bought in the cameras and they set up this microphone that was much nicer than anything I was expecting. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like this joint was some old Frank Sinatra style shit.
Right, right.
And they put up a black backdrop. Because at first I was just going to do that material, like about the cops and stuff like that, and do that in front of the black background and do the rest of the material just regular. Right. Yeah. When we got there and we started getting into it, what ended up becoming a special came from the last take that we did. The first take that we did, I did stand up the regular way. You know what I'm saying? There was no black backdrop. There was nothing. It was just me standing microphone, mic stand, doing my thing. And we set up the black one to go, okay, let's get this material so we can insert it in. When I watched it back, it was my favorite take by far. I didn't even watch the other two.
Yeah.
And from there, we chopped it up. It was...
Visually, it looks perfect.
Thank you, man. I wish you would have gave it a look, dog.
I'm going to watch it. Believe me. I'm a fucking... My life is a mess. I'm racing the clock at every second.
It's all good, man. As long as you're healthy, bro. First and foremost.
Working on it.
I'm really, really, really proud of that project, dog.
Yeah.
Really, really proud.
I'm probably going to watch it today. I'm going to fucking race to the gym after this.
Got you. After you get done, let me know what you think of it. You know what I'm saying? Good or bad. Let me know how you feel.
But that's Dark Out on YouTube, guys. Check that out. Follow Nico White on YouTube. Follow him on Instagram.
Yes, NEKOWHITE93 on Instagram, NEKOWHITE on YouTube, and watch Dark Out to the last second. Okay, you got to see the whole thing. Don't just watch 5 minutes of it. Take your time, but watch the whole shit.
By the way, are you in a relationship right now? You single?
I'm single as hell.
This
whole quarantine, dog. This shit is trash and it's scary.
Dude, I was thinking this is like maybe the worst time since like fucking polio to be single.
Yeah. Yeah. When you get caught in it, because especially for me, it's like, okay, what's worth the risk? Like, I don't really go out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I go to the supermarket and all that shit and come home.
There's nowhere to fucking go. It's like you're either home or you go to a gym or the store. That's it.
Yeah. That too. It's like there's nowhere to go. Everything is a risk. Bro, when I found out that the new strain was in upstate New York, I had shit to do. I canceled everything. I said, hey, yo, don't nobody talk to me till the 21st. We're going to see how that shit spreads.
Yeah.
You know, all the pre-existing conditions, I'm not confirmed to have any, but I have DNA to have all of them.
Yeah, you got appendicitis. You're fucking walking around with it.
You silly.
Fucking.
But not that be careful, so.
Are you taking vitamin D?
Vitamin D, if I'm getting vitamin D, I'm not taking it actively. I take a multivitamin every day, and I take, I got this big shit of, I ain't going to show the brand, but Emergency. You know what I'm saying? 150 milligrams of vitamin C every day.
Dude, make sure there's vitamin D in that multivitamin. That's like the main thing for COVID, because like they even did tests. And like hospitals, people that recovered, like 56% of them took vitamin D.
Got you.
Like regularly. That's like the big one. And I noticed like even in myself, like I used to have like a weird throat problem out of fucking nowhere where just like at night my throat would swell up. Just started taking vitamin D.
You got to remember, we were smoking like good cigars. Like,
yeah, but
regularly, dog.
That's true. Dude, I miss those fucking days. I was just thinking about that today.
I don't think people understand. Like, I really thought about it not too long ago. It was like, man, the access and really the way you ever think about that? Like the access and the way you got to pimp certain social situations that you took advantage of and didn't really understand. It's like,
cause me and you, man, like basically people don't know, but me and Nico we'd get, you know, me and him, sometimes some friends, we'd get together, we'd go to the cigar lounge, fucking have a cigar, chill out, talk about comedy, talk about our fucking careers and shit.
I just miss those people, dog. You know what I'm saying? I miss those people. I'm telling you, it was like Cheers. Because there was one on 54th. Then you had the other joint on 73rd, the cigar.
Yeah. So for me, I'm on 78th now. So I'm like, that's 73rd. Perfect.
You're literally down the block.
Yeah.
Yeah. I come holler at you when you're not sick. What was I saying to you? But just having those places I could leave the house and be productive the way I wanted to be. It's like having an office.
Right.
I get out of here at what? If I wanted to leave at 1, I can get there by 2 o'clock. if my shows don't start till, let's say it's one of those days, I got shows till 8, right?
Yeah.
I could do from 2:30 to about 4:30. If I got something else to do, maybe like 3:30, I can get some good focused work in, right? Then go out, jump a couple places, downtime. If I didn't have something to do with people to hang out with, I could always go there. Or even if I did and we didn't have anywhere to go, right, I had spots to take you to. It's crazy.
Yeah.
The monopoly of places you had that you can hang. Like if you had a chick and y'all didn't have anything to do, nothing was scheduled, you could definitely, if you want to go get drinks, if I was broke and trying to make it look good,
right,
I could stop at any comedy club or any bar where I knew a bartender.
Right.
And yo,
yeah, you gotta finesse in life. You gotta fucking
off.
Like you tip people well, they'll fucking take care of you in return. That's all.
$20. Yo, for $20, I've had so much fun in so many places.
Yeah. Dude, you know what's so nice about this?
So much good liquor for only $20.
Oh my God. It's like criminal, especially as comedians, just how much you can get away with in that fucking. Dude, you know what's nice about the cigar lounges too is just it's nice to be around people who share like a hobby with you.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's that sense of like understanding. Like when I'm in a cigar lounge, I look at what other people are smoking just as like interesting. Like you know,
yeah.
Pick something up.
I've had a lot of the greatest conversations I've had in places like that. I've had some of the loudest arguments I've had in places like that.
Yeah.
And met people that I definitely wouldn't have hung out with otherwise.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? The perspective I got to have, even on, I really can't say that I was a big fan of police officers, right? Just in general. Growing up, the whole nine. Going to the Casa de Monte Cristo's here in the city, and you know, a lot of that is their base, right?
Right.
And I'm talking black, white, all that. Getting to hear their views now, ain't none of the shit's really changed my view, but it was good to have that perspective to bounce off of.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because otherwise I really wouldn't get to hear that perspective unless it's one of my friends that's a cop or something.
It also like humanizes that
profession
to you.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah, because it's hard to be like, I hate this, and then you're sitting across from that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard not to be like, maybe I don't hate all these guys.
Well, I mean, only y'all come into shit with hate and all that. We don't do that. You know what I'm saying? Just for the record.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know the numbers on that, but
I don't want nobody coming. I don't want nobody coming at me. You hate God? Nah, ain't even.
Well, no, I don't fucking hate anybody. And you know me, like I always take like every stance I've ever taken, like publicly, has always been a populist stance. It's always been, that's like, I'm a straight up populist up and down the board. I always give a shit about the people. Yeah. And I'm like, fuck these criminals in fucking Congress.
I wish you were in front of me so I could shake you. When I say you, I don't mean you left for, I mean the bigger you. You in quotation marks.
Yeah.
The youths that are listening to us right now. No, not even that. And that's another thing too, where language is either going to have to change or people are going to have to remember. Like a lot of times folks aren't being specific. It's a working premise that I have, but it's like when I say like when I'm on stage, if I go white people and you see some people, it's like, oh man, I'm not even talking about you.
You know
what I'm saying? And maybe that's my fault for not being specific, but sometimes people don't got time to be specific.
Yeah. What were we just talking about?
I don't know, bro. You the host. you're
high. I've been awake for 20 minutes.
You really did just wake up, huh? Yeah. I know exactly what we were talking about.
No, we were talking about fucking. We went on a white tangent here.
A little bit.
that's gonna be the title.
About just being able to go around the city, the things that we got from hanging out at the cigar spots.
Yeah, I had something on the fucking cigar thing.
Shoot.
But now I can't remember it.
It didn't do anything for your chess game. That much is for certain.
Dude, I've been getting pretty nice, but
You watch Queen's Gambit and all that stuff.
I got an episode in, and then I got arrogant. I started playing online, stopped watching the show. But let me ask. I was thinking about this today. Was you never struck me as a guy who would like go on dates?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, am I right there?
No.
Like you're down. Like, what's a date for you? Where you like? Would you bring a chick to a comedy club? What's your?
Oh, nah. I didn't really do that. If I did that, I either wasn't performing or it was a club like Caroline's, with somebody's headlining on a weekend, I could take her there to see a show.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? As opposed to going out to where you're just doing spots. Cause then I always felt like we become part of the conversation then.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I never really cared for all that shit. A day for me was usually we go out, go for a walk somewhere, have a drink, see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to love doing coffee dates because it was
coffee
like
coffee dates, the cafe. Yeah.
Yeah, because and also like you can walk around with it, you know, just you're sitting directly across from each other. Coffee is like fuels the conversation. You know what I mean? It's and like also if you go on a bunch of dates, you're averaging what, like $15 a date on a coffee date.
Yeah, you're not spending much money because I was never into that. Spending and losing money on dates never made sense.
Yeah. Dude, Cafe Reggio on McDougal Street, that was my spot. That and like
Cafe Reggio.
Dude, a good coffee cafe where you just knock out all your dates, where like the people know you there, is just so great to have.
Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf. There was a spot. There was multiple of those, but there was one in particular on the east side, right? I would go there to write sometimes. And yeah, it was so cool that when I would call the spot, they'd reserve a table for me.
Yeah, yeah.
So one time I had a date there. Nigga, just the way that they treated us.
Right.
Excellent. We ain't paid for pastries, none of that shit. You know what I'm saying? And
we ain't paid for pastries.
We ain't paid for pastries.
I love it.
And it made me, it put me in a real good light.
Yeah, it looks like you're respected. You know, and yeah.
So shout out to Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf, fam. When they closed, y'all, I was so hurt because I couldn't do it like that.
I've told this story 100 times on this pod, but one time at Reggio, I was on a date with one of the baddest chicks I've ever been on a date with. Like, mm-hmm. Oh my God, like just insanity, right? And I go to pay the fucking tab. It's like $10. They come back. They're like, your card was declined. And I'm like, what? And she's like getting uncomfortable. And she's like, I could cover it. And I was like, no, no, no. Hang your fucking fat ass right here. Yeah. I run around the corner to go hit an ATM. Yeah. Fucking cash comes out, their chip reader's not working. So I come back in and I'm like, you know, I eat that stress of your card getting declined, like how that looks. And I like give them cash and tip even heavier now.
Yeah, yeah. Just to show that, right.
I'm like, and 200 for you, ma'am. Huh? Yeah. And, but she tells me as we're walking out the date, she's like, wow, they really like you there. She's like, when you left to go get cash, like the waitress walked up and was like, don't worry, like he always tips really well. Like I'm sure it's just a card issue.
And again, it's those little small things, fam.
Yeah. You and they saw me bring like 100 women there, and I love that code of like, yeah, he's yeah, he's nobody, trying to find
that part ain't nobody business, dog.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, why would you even say that part on the goddamn podcast?
Well, you know, this was over the course of a good while. I had a good run. I had a fucking good run back in the day. Like,
right, fair.
You know, I feel like
back in the day. Get out of here.
I'll be back.
Back in the day.
Anytime I introduce my girl to people, I'm like, yeah, it's my girl. It's temporary.
Oh, wifey now. Okay. Got you.
I'm gonna go throw that W word around, you know, but
okay. Never mind. I take that back now.
It's cool. Everything's
good. Cool. Yeah. Shit, I'm proud of you, man.
Yeah, you know, but it's also like I'm just gonna not say what I was gonna say, but you know what I mean. Like you get it without even me saying it. Like life is just always hell.
Life is life, man.
Yeah, but this may be the first proper like time I've been dating somebody where it's just
I want to do that,
dude. I've spent a year with this chick and we haven't had one argument, one fight. Like I didn't even know that was like a possibility.
Yeah,
you know. Like, usually by a month in, it's like, I love you, and then you're having fucking arguments, bro. You know what I mean? Or, like,
it wasn't too much the arguments as much as it was the understanding. Because I always felt like I did a good job of saying up front, but I think I fucked up saying almost too much up front. Like, yo, this is how it's going to be. Yeah. And then proceeding to stick to that almost like a script. You know what I mean? And it's like, okay, it's something I learned last year when I started overthinking shit, but it's like, all right, bro, maybe you can ease up on some of this shit.
Yeah, be a little more flexible.
A little more flexible, because there was one girl, she just bought up, like, maybe I could open up my schedule a little more. And I'm like, yo, but I told you, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, Yeah, but that's the problem. She felt like I wouldn't make anything special for her as far as like loosening the time and all that shit.
Because we're so into our bullshit that like,
yeah, deep.
Yeah, it's easy to think that like you giving her extra time is like you're letting go of your career or you're like fucking up.
But I don't even know if I was thinking about it that hard.
Yeah.
Right. Because it's like, what's a day for real when you think about looking back? But in the moment, I'm thinking more so that's a day and I can quantify that day.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean? I can quantify. All right. That day is X amount of this or X amount of that. And honestly, that's where my mind was.
Yeah.
Get the money, get the situation right. All that type of shit. So. It's really time management.
It's interesting that you said that because I think I'm like one thing that registered. I think I'm honestly, I think me and you have very similar personalities in a lot of ways. Like, I think we're both, lean in, baby. You're looking at white you.
Oh, fuck God. It. Oh, hell.
Now we're actually, both,
you know, it's funny.
Very controlling. We're both very confident. Like, there's a lot there, man. We're both.
Yeah, I was just gonna say I have a baby picture that kind of looks like what you do now. I'm telling you, I almost want to go grab it.
Yeah, I kind of want to see it.
I got you. Before the end of the podcast, I'm gonna grab that.
Fucking, but I think one thing I am not great at is like doing those things of like, okay, this is a special thing for you, or this is like a nice thing for you. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like I'm usually on the receiving end of more gifts in a relationship.
Being considerate can be hard for me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Being considerate in the way of, okay, I don't know if I have ADD, but I feel like I do. Because I can go around doing shit for a very long time. So let's say if you text me, right? If I know that I have to do something and it's been planned, okay, boom, I'm good on it.
Yeah,
you send me a text and it's not urgent that I get back to you. It's not anything where it needs to be addressed right now. Just a hey or something like that. I'll go past that shit, get caught up in just looking at what's in front of me.
Right.
Then by the time I look back, holy shit, it's been an hour. It's been 2 hours. It's been a day. And now this girl thinks this motherfucker's ignoring me, blah, 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 whatever she thinks. And it's like legit. Everything that was in the phone didn't get looked at.
Yeah.
If it wasn't pressing, if it wasn't, but if it didn't have that notification right there on it.
Right, right.
I didn't even see it.
Dude, I like the girl I've been dating now, like we hardly text at all. And it's fucking fantastic. Like, it's so important, I think, in a relationship. And I think so few people have this down. But you should be able to go a day or two without texting your person. And you don't give a fuck. Like,
and you don't get, yo, you know how good of a place you in where you can do that and you don't give a fuck. She don't give a fuck. Now, mind you, I don't know if I ain't been in a relationship in too long to be able to even answer that question. But I was about to say, I don't know if I'm in a spot where, how long have you and your girl been together?
We only like exclusively like for the maybe 2 months, but we probably started seeing each other like a year ago.
Gotcha. See, because once it's like relationship, that's wifey and all that, I'd be interested and I'll be very happy when I meet the woman where it's like, all right, she gone for 2 days and I don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Because it's great if she don't give a fuck. That's putting it on her, though.
Right, right.
Putting it on me. If I don't give a fuck, I trust her.
But
like
you
that.
Both have to have it.
That's beautiful.
You both have to have it because it's like... Yeah. She has to be confident enough. And here's the thing. Here's why people do that texting is because it's a lack of self-confidence. It's you going, fuck, if he doesn't text me today, that means he probably wants to break up. He probably doesn't want to hang out anymore. Things are getting worse. He's talking to somebody else. That's where it comes from. It's always that thing. It's an insecurity. It's like, oh, you're not happy. Like I've had that panic. I pushed that panic button in relationships before of like, oh, fuck. Things don't seem great. We're not texting. Yeah. You want to break up. And then they're like, no, you fucking idiot. I'm doing shit.
Yo, I've had it to where they're not even doing anything but giving me the same treatment that I'm giving.
Yeah.
And I'll send a text after not sending one in a while. And then it's like 3 hours go past and I'll look and be like, oh, so the bubbles didn't even, the three dots didn't show up at no point. You ain't even seen this word. Meanwhile, when you call her, she's like, no, everything was fine. And like, what do you mean you were mad? You'll go for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Dude, how great is that male? This is male arrogance is the epitome of it. Is like, how dare she do this shit that I've been doing?
Who do we think we are?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Who do we think we are? Fragile fucking creatures, dog.
It's so funny how like you could ignore a text for a week and then you send her one, and if 5 minutes pass, you're like, okay, so you're gonna ignore me now.
Like, yo, who she think she is? Who she think I am?
Yeah, all that shit just has to go. Like, it took me a while to get comfortable with that too. Of like, you know, she's fucking doing shit. Like, you just have to get so many negative things in life that can really take you off the course. Like those feelings, it just comes down to ignoring that first impulse. Of just
boy,
like,
y'all be on here listening to Lev, man. He be spitting some good advice too, bro.
No, but you know, after we get past the fucking 3 hours of anal, it's
yeah, Lev be telling y'all some shit that you can learn from a fortune cookie.
I'm a spiritual searcher, baby. Ugh, isn't that gross?
Do you really get into any of that shit? Like the spiritualistic stuff?
Dude, you know what? I definitely have that thing in me. Like I was a Buddhist at 16. So like, you know,
legit?
I didn't keep up with it.
You know what? I can,
I got it. Mm-hmm. Like, I understand. To me, though, it caused me to have depression after a while.
If anyone that understands Buddhism, like, truly and understands it enough to where you can instruct people on it, yo, inbox me. That's one religion that I actually wouldn't mind learning more about. I don't know if I want to get into it yet, but I wouldn't mind learning more about it.
I could tell you the main fucking point that I think you take from Buddhism, and I think it's one of the greatest truths of life. Like, if I were to choose a religion for your own personal fuck it, because it's less of a religion, more of just a way of having a natural philosophy in your life.
Yeah, way of being.
Yeah, and it's, if there's one thing that you take from it, it's that like the big idea is that you're not in charge of what people do to you, but you are in charge of how you react. And it took me a long time to understand that. Because it's like, for example, they'd be like, if somebody shot you with an arrow, it is your choice to become angry at that person for shooting you. Which, like, it seems so hard to put that together. Because it's like, what the fuck? You shot me with a fucking arrow. Like, but you realize that the whole thinking of Zen is just, you're deciding what you give your energy to. And I think a lot of people who have, like, anxiety and who, you know, struggle with that kind of shit is what I used to do. Is, you know, let's say your brain is just a stream of thoughts all day long, just random thoughts. I got to do this. I got to do that. What if this happened? You know what I mean? What you do when you're anxious is you grab the negative thoughts and you hold on to them.
Yeah.
You know, and we don't hold on to the positives. We never hold on to the positives and go, oh, my God, like, what if I do become a millionaire? Like, you let that shit go, because otherwise you just have like delusions and narcissism. But we hold on to those negatives. We fucking sink hooks in them.
Duh. I think the climate did that, or at least helped with it in the last couple of years.
Oh yeah.
People are taught now to beat the confidence out of themselves. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
You're allowed to have whatever you want, but you better not like you. You are not allowed to like you. And if you like you, you better only like you to you. I say that because a lot of times you'll see people like say about folks, somebody needs to be humbled or more humble and things like that. And it's like, you don't even know what this person deals with. Like, okay, that person is whatever they are on a social media app. But sometimes I would hear that about people I know. And I'm like, this is a struggling person.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It just doesn't tell you about their struggles. Sometimes I feel like people don't understand. People only posting the highlights on social media. Or the low lights, but give them that space.
I've been guilty.
Their confidence shouldn't piss you off.
Yeah. I've been guilty of that on the wrong end before. Cause I remember I met this guy and I was like, this guy's like he's a dick. He's like very fucking loud. He's like irritating. Mm-hmm. Like I didn't like this guy. And then somebody was like, oh, his mom's like dying in a hospital right now. And I was like,
yeah,
well, there it is. You know, like what?
You never know what people are going through.
Yeah, and a lot of times, like, if somebody's acting a certain way, it's because something's happening, like, in their life, you know?
Yeah.
But, or there's something they haven't fucking addressed or figured out, but...
And but,
Go ahead.
Give people the space to be themselves. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? How many times have you gone to a party and you seen somebody fuck with the person that's not overly immersed in the party?
Right.
I always hated seeing that shit. Oh, you need to go. It's like that person is over there having their version of a good time.
Right.
Leave them alone, fam. Let them chill.
Yeah.
Everybody you have seen it where you let people be themselves. Then you
I get exactly what you mean. I was just at a party and
all the other people like go die.
Yeah. I was just at a party. I saw like two people just sitting off to the side, like not saying a word.
Yeah.
And your first impulse, like actually, I didn't even have that impulse anymore of like bring them in, like, you know what I mean? Because I looked at them, I realized like, oh, they're on fucking mushrooms. They're having a great time. Like they're doing their thing. You know?
You going over there wouldn't do anything, but it would disturb that.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's better off not to disturb people's peace.
No, of course.
People get killed for that shit, dog.
Yeah. Fucking on the Buddhism thing though, it's just like it's the whole idea of meditating too is you're just watch your thoughts go by. Don't and just focus on your breathing. Just that's it. You just focus on your breath because it keeps you present. And like there's all these books on like monks and all this shit. And like a lot of monks and monasteries, like there's guys who were like startup millionaires who wanted to like figure out these truths. So they would go like join a monastery and work as a monk. And then for a year, all they would do, they would wake up, they would eat, they'd go to a factory and they'd put like beer caps on beer bottles to like ship them out.
Yeah.
And that's all they would do. Just a menial task with their hands for years. And because working, the lesson there is just doing even minimal things with your hands is going to keep you more present. It's going to keep you more focused. It pushes those anxieties down. So it's like when you're feeling stressed, start doing something. Start like,
I'm gonna invest in 2,000 Lego pieces, bro.
Dude, honestly, shit like that, like it does make a drastic change. You like anytime you're feeling that feeling, you got to just go like you said, it's that turbulence.
Yeah.
Like life is a plane in the air, and there's gonna be some fucking turbulence. And Seinfeld actually like cracked open anxiety for me in a big way, but just in a second. He was talking to Sarah Jessica Parker on Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee, and he was drinking like his fourth cup of coffee. And this is the time when I was like afraid of drinking coffee because I was like, I'm going to fucking freak out, you know?
Yeah.
And she says to him, she's like, how are you having so much? Like, I'd be so anxious. And he just kind of assuredly smiles at her and he goes, I like the anxiety.
Yeah.
And that like blew open. It was like 4 a.m. I shot up in bed. I was like, you can like the thing that you fear and hate so much. If somebody else can like it, then you can too. So now, like today, I'll slam like fucking 3 cups of coffee. And when I get that up feeling, like I have it now, I don't fight it. I'm just like, it's time to feel this. Yeah. You know, you just lean in. So it's like a lot of it is that and just like being present. Dude, I can't do the meditating though, because it fucking works too well for me. And the point of like, when I get too invested in the thought of like, you decide what can hurt you. I feel like I have a very strong mental willpower. So I'm like, oh, nothing can hurt you. And when nothing can hurt you, then there's no kind of point of any
Got
of it.
You.
Things should be able to hurt you. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah. I guess for me, it's more of a, every time I've meditated again, that ADD comes in. And it's like, oh, okay, I'm meditating and I can hear the sky outside.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I can hear whatever's happening. I can hear the, I don't know if you can hear it right now. I can hear the cars.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I focus on those things. So it's hard to cut the sensors off.
Well, you're supposed to hear them. But when you hear them, just go, that was a car. And then go right back to your breath.
Gotcha.
That's it. So it's like, just you hear it go and just, this like the thing, the key to think of is what I would always think of is just every thought you're having, every sound, it's just clouds going by.
Yeah.
And you just get in that deep state of just
I've been trying to think that, and then my mind immediately goes, that's stupid.
Well, yeah, I mean it is, but everything
I'm just saying, like that's why I haven't been able to crack it, because I'm sure there's something there. But it's my head going, just clouds. Just clouds.
Well, it's the same thing. You're getting self-conscious in that moment of like,
sure.
What if somebody walks in on me, looking at me, seeing this? Isn't this fucking dumb as shit? Am I going to look like a whack job?
Is it that? If it's that, then I'd be disappointed in myself.
It's like, it's like all that little box of all insecurity, whatever your thing is, whatever the fear is. But it's like we talked about with the pot. It's just give into it. Give up that control of your image and how you feel. Welcome.
Because they was going to think what they was going to think regardless, fam.
Yeah.
I remember when I came somewhere and I had a cigar on me. It was like a barbecue or something.
Yeah.
And motherfuckers was like, you're smoking cigars? Because it was like outside where the park. I'm like, yeah. And when I unfolded my little lawn chair, it was like, oh, that part felt great.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, I'm doing this. You don't have to like it, but it doesn't matter.
Right.
You cannot move. Chill and talk. But I'm going to have the cigar. Enjoy this nice ass day.
Yeah, well, it's like you said. You got to fucking let people be them, you know?
Yeah, fam. Let people be. Don't interrupt anybody's peace. You'd get killed for that. Or you end up running after a 14-year-old trying to get an iPhone that ain't yours. Weirdo.
Yeah. What's been on your mind lately?
Real honestly, trying to get as many people to see the special as possible.
Yeah.
Legit. You know what I'm saying? It's been that and trying to stay away from negative news. You know what I'm saying? Because I get really into that type of stuff and I have so many opinions on it, but it's like, okay.
It's all negative news, dude.
Yeah, everywhere. You know,
and so ask yourself too, like, do you really want to read another story about a cute puppy?
I don't care about any of that, fam. Yeah. Right now, when I think about it and I look at the things that matter to me, I don't care about what a fool does and people acting like now all of a sudden they want to do something about it when there's 12 days left. I have no interest in that. But that shit does affect real life. You know what I'm saying? And I see people have interest in it around me. They're in my circles. It comes up a lot. So it's like, even when you try to stay away from it, you can't.
What is it? What are you trying to stay away from?
Oh, I'm talking about just the, like I said, I'm trying to stay away from like.
Oh, just the news, the negativity. Yeah.
Not even the negativity, but more the noise.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Oh, this is what's going on in the news. This is how bad it is. This is the COVID numbers. I'm tired of that shit. Right. But it's hard to avoid it. Because even if you're not talking about it, it's everybody else's conversation.
Right.
Yeah. So it's that. But getting as many people to watch Dark Out as possible and keep them at peace, fam.
There was a great, it's interesting that you're looking at Buddhism too, because like a lot of it is just controlling noise. That's like literally the word used for it. Like Gary Shandling said this thing, like Louis C.K. shared this quote that Shandling emailed him one time that was like, everybody keeps talking and making all this noise.
Yeah.
And if everybody would just shut the fuck up, they'd realize that the answers are in the silence.
Yeah.
And that was one of those things that really stuck with me.
If you take the music out, if you take the music and words out of a lot of the things that we saw, right? Just in general.
Yeah.
It's completely different to you. Because you can't lie about what you saw. You're seeing something honestly. Everything else adds context, right? But even that, you can't help but be a part of the noise. They're not going to let you ignore the noise.
Right.
Twitter's telling us now that they, limited homies' tweets, Trump's?
Yeah.
You had that power the whole time?
Well, yeah, but it's also like, but I know a lot of people who hate Trump that are actually like genuinely, I know a chick I was just talking to, she genuinely hates Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, I do think it's wrong that Facebook can decide who they're going to mute like that, which is.
Yeah, one more time.
Like she was like, I don't think Facebook should be able to decide we're now muting you for this reason. She's like, that feels like too much power.
Here's the problem. You've been kicked off of Facebook and you're not president. You understand?
I've never been kicked off of Facebook.
Again, that's what I was about to say. Yeah. When I say you, I don't mean Lev. I'm talking about us.
Yeah.
Regular people get kicked off of Facebook for regular posts. Those posts don't incite anything because they have no power, right? If it's obvious that this guy has been directly involved because of what he says and the way he says it, been involved in violence, then why didn't you do anything before? Especially if you can get comedians have gotten in more trouble because of Twitter. Oh, yeah,
for sure.
You understand?
Yeah.
So if you could do this the whole time, what makes this any more different from Charlottesville? Somebody got killed in Charlottesville. He damn near egged that on. What's the giant difference?
The difference is public opinion. That's the difference.
Bro,
they're only going to do what, like, I was hearing Dave Smith said a fucking real from Legion of Skanks said a really interesting insight on this kind of stuff, where he was like, all these corporations, all these big companies, they're only going to take the action like once the public opinion has weighed, okay, most of us believe this, then they come out with the action. They'll never do it first. So he was saying, like, for example, like they were doing like a fucking Ritz crackers commercial, and they showed it, and it was just like all about a guy who's gay and his mom won't talk to him. And then at the end, they just show like a symbol of Ritz crackers. And they're like, it has nothing to do with the fucking product. But what they're doing is they're just going, okay, this is what all people believe now. This is the popular opinion. Let's throw this into a commercial. And it's the same thing now where, like, with the Trump thing with the fucking riots, I think even a lot of Trump supporters were like, this should not be happening. This is insane. A lot of people felt that way. And once it went from, okay, 40% of people still like Trump to now it's 20%, the big companies go, fuck it. Like, now we can do this.
And again, the fact that you've been able to do it the whole time and you didn't take any action similar to this beforehand, when things similar to this, if not almost worse than this, have happened before.
But if they would have done it before, it would have helped him win. For sure.
Amen. Amen. If helping him win keeps the violence down that we've seen, it's almost worth it. And I don't think he was going to win again anyway. I really don't.
I think we're going to see a peaceful transition. Let me tell you something, bro.
Nah, let me tell you something. The whole speech was old school Klan cold singing, fam.
Which one? The concession?
Yeah, if you can call it that. That one.
You want to hear my theory?
Plenty of cold signaling. Cold signaling, they're hiding the message in plain sight. And look, I'm not even saying that Trump is deliberately doing that. But
what do you think was the code? What did you hear?
You didn't listen to the speech?
I did. I watched it and I was like, oh, you fine. This, I had a completely different take on it.
Yeah, I bet. But, dog, when he said, y'all go back and you listen to that speech. And you tell me, if you're somebody, and you think about it, y'all be honest with me when you hit me, right? But if you think that speech, if you're in any way, I got you. You ready?
Yeah.
If you go back and listen to that concession speech and feel like you don't hear any cold signaling, then fine. You don't see it. I get that. But if you're a radicalized fan of his, what did he say in that concession speech that's gonna talk you down? And then when you put that in context with his tweets after that, sure, the transition might look peaceful, but the streets are gonna get really weird. Really, 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 really weird.
I don't know. Those
people that went and rushed the Capitol, the bitch literally said on her way out, they shot at us. They pepper sprayed us. They're not supposed to do that to us. They're supposed to do that to Black Lives Matter. That was a quote.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody worried about Republicans, dog. Republicans aren't the problem. The problem is those people that are hiding as quote unquote Republicans.
Yeah. Well, Republicans have I think Republicans have adapted to a lot of social shit nowadays. Like, it feels like they've been
whatever. Like I said, ain't nobody worried about them.
Right. Right.
Worried about the motherfuckers that would go inside of the Capitol building.
Right.
You understand? Because it's those people that put on hoods and shit like that.
Yeah, it's interesting.
You saw what they were doing to the cops, and they're the Blue Lives Matter squad too.
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here, man.
It's interesting because I had such a different takeaway of that. Like, when to me, what was the fucking craziest thing in the world was, like, once they were in, like, this is all Trump's narcissism. And it when people were inside and his initial tweets weren't, you have to go home. Like, you can't be fucking breaking up the Capitol. You can't be smashing windows in the fucking historic U.S. building, the fucking Capitol. And instead he was like, you know, take a left. There's the West Wing's over there. Give it a look. This, you know, just fucking going. If $5 to anybody who coughs on Pelosi's keyboard, I got $5. Like, the fact that he didn't tell people to leave was fucking insanity.
So now let's go back to that concession speech.
Oh, but on the concession though, when I heard it, this was my, because here's the thing: he went to Camp David right before that shit dropped, and Trump fucking hates Camp David. He hates going there. This is like where the fucking people that run shit.
Oh, they go forced to meet him up somewhere after he was responsible for people getting hurt and murdered. Oh, okay.
No, but this is, and then he goes to Camp David, and then the concession speech drops. My theory is what really happened, because Trump would never concede on his own. And this is like, and the reason he didn't want National Guard to step in, the reason he didn't tell people to go home, is because he wanted to go, look, what other president has this many people fucking storming a Capitol that I lost? Like, look at the support I have. I'm like fucking Jesus. Like, that's the feeling he's got. And I guarantee what happened is the real fucking powers that be, the people in the background with the black ties on, said, listen, Donald, this is what the fuck it's going to be, or we're going to kill your entire family and nobody will fucking hear from you again.
Let me tell you something.
Hour later, that concession drops.
Either way, it does nothing to calm down the people that need to be calmed down. Does nothing. He only incited that shit more. Again, it's hiding shit in plain sight, bro.
I don't know. Didn't he say like it's over? But I took it as him going, like, he was like, we have to look, this is over.
I'm gonna say something to you real quick. Right?
But he was talking about how we got to fix like voter laws and verify all this shit. But
yeah, dude, it's just, there you go. There you go.
To me, it's just like he's just trying to like cover up any way that he lost. I think it's all personal, man, for him.
You might think that, right? Again, if we're not worried about him and we're worried about the people that he inspires. Right. So we're not worried about him. What he says, what he says. When I say cold signaling, that's signaling. When they say you need to watch this old school Klan shit, it's old school Klan language.
Guys, I think he's onto us. Cut the tape.
You feel me? It's old school Klan. You from the fucking South.
I don't know. It's.
But, you're from what? Where are you from? North.
I want to pull up the speech. Yeah, because I'm trying to see what you're seeing in it. Where's Trump?
You? Of course. This is what I was gonna say to you, right? If you didn't see it initially, that makes sense. You don't have to usually look out for shit like that.
Let's see. I'm
gonna do screen shipping.
I'm trying to find the fucking like the wording.
Just go to Twitter.
You know what's what's fucking awful is if you type in Trump concession speech, the first suggestion is Trump's succession speech, Jimmy Fallon. And it's like, I think a big problem is people are going to Jimmy fucking Fallon of
And that's just our algorithms. People would be a lot less stressed out and a lot less people would even see what he tweets if these social media apps were as organic as they used to be.
Yeah, I can't find the fucking...
And he's the biggest show. Just go to his Twitter, bro.
I know, but it's a video that was the problem. I was trying to find the words.
Oh, well, if you hit screen share, I think they can hear it.
I don't want to fucking... I don't know how that shit works.
Oh, okay.
Trump calls for healing and reconciliation. I don't know. Well, you tell me, like, what stuck out to you as words?
I'm not going to spell it out for you, only because... Remember the last time when I came on and I said something along the lines, like, we owe no explanation? What I heard in that speech and what you said you didn't hear in the speech makes perfect sense. If people want to dig into it further, look into it yourself. If I told you, I'd color it for you. You know what I'm saying? And I want to color it for you. Mm-hmm. Go in there and listen to it. But listen to it to somebody that has to be on the lookout for stuff like that. Or don't. But that shit was old school Klan cold signal.
Yeah, I got to give it a rewatch.
Yeah, man. Give it a rewatch. And if you still find it wrong what he said, cool. Just saying, his people did that to the Capitol, and his people still feel like he loves them. His people, man, I ain't telling y'all. Look it up, shit.
Yeah, what an insane fucking moment. I was genuinely at home afraid that my stocks were gonna drop. Like I was refreshing. Tesla took a $10 dip in fucking seconds.
Yeah. Was on. You didn't lose your returns, did you?
No, I'm doing great. Everything's back up.
Oh,
fucking no, I was genuinely like afraid in those moments. I was like, wow, this might fuck, because what I thought was gonna happen, cops are gonna shoot one person, they're gonna fucking fire back. This is how it starts. I was like, this is it. You know?
Oh no, this is definitely how it starts. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
But that lady got fucking popped. Like nobody was like, oh, they shot this, like nobody was outraged that they shot this woman.
Oh, they just didn't show you that part. That part ain't gonna be the highest retweeted. But yeah. No, that lady has a family, so there's gonna be people that's connected to that are gonna feel a certain way. You only need one to feel really, really strongly about it.
But I don't think white people unify around the deaths of our own. I was at like the stand yesterday, and like Derek Gaines was talking in pockets about like white people just don't really have that much loyalty to one another. You know what I mean? Like we're not gonna
white
make graphic.
White people don't have that much loyalty to one another.
I don't think there's gonna be graphic tees of that lady's face.
You don't
on
think
them.
There's gonna be graphic tees of that lady? It might not be graphic tees, but they're gonna run in somebody's house.
I don't know
that type of shit. You don't know? They were already
they, look. There are some crazy fucks for sure. Like, hang on, I'm trying to get my fucking camera refocused here. Like the last time I visited down south, like one of my parents' neighbors from across fucking Dex started yelling and was like, if any of those Black Lives Matters come in our fucking houses, we're going to shoot them. And I was like, Jesus, dude. I was like, where did you read that they're breaking into houses?
The only houses that broke again. See?
No, yeah, but that's the fear on one side and the fucking...
Now, you have that fear on one side, right? Now, that's what fear on that one side looks like.
But that's like radicalized fear to me.
It don't matter. That's across the way from your parents, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
insane, isn't it? I told that story on the Patreon. It's just fucking nuts. That's not the worst of it, believe me.
So if it's that close to you, right? And who knows if you're the everyman. But if it's that close to you and your folks, then think about other people who don't live in a city like New York City.
Right.
You know what I mean? As far as saying people don't agree or don't unify around their people when they die, they definitely, definitely do.
You're just saying it's in different ways.
We haven't gotten into world wars because we don't unify when our people die.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? When Bin Laden sent them things over here to kill 3,000 Americans, it was unified. People unified in the decision to go over there and fuck shit up.
That's true.
They didn't care they were in the wrong place. But because the media made that look a certain way, we were all with it. Yeah. Or if you were a kid like we were back then, you didn't know anything about it. You heard about how messed up it was later.
I love that you're like, I'm trying to get away from the news of this shit. We're just like deep diving into this shit.
Bro, this is not a deep dive. This is barbershop talk. Baby.
Yeah.
This is so basic.
This is deep for me, baby.
No, it ain't. No, fucking, it ain't.
Dude, I think we got some fucking great shit out today.
Yeah?
This was a great convo, man. We got to fucking sit down and have a cigar at some point soon. Give each other a little vid.
When you're not sick, dog.
I'm not sick. I'm rocking and rolling, dude.
Got you. Well, when your stomach ain't hurting and you got a clear, what they call them tests? The COVID test?
I'm a Jew that eats fucking a pound of cheese a day, dude. I'll never have a functional stomach.
Well, don't eat a pound of cheese a day, fam. You know what I mean? You lost all the weight to gain it back? I don't think so, bro.
Yeah. Fucking. I just ordered running shoes, dude. It's about to be a new fucking revolution in this bitch.
You can get revolution ready, huh?
Yeah, that's it. I'm practicing running with a flag.
Heck yeah. Well, do your best. I don't think you're going to have too much to worry about, though.
Yeah, no, we'll be all right. I think things are going to end up all right, man. I feel like they usually do. I think the more people want things to be good than...
I think people want things to be good. I think that, unfortunately, it doesn't take too many people to ruin a good thing.
That is true. It's funny how like almost every single major moment in history was caused by like one person getting shot. Like fucking World War One was the Archduke of, I think, Austria gets killed. Fucking
people don't unite, so we good.
Yeah. Guys, make sure you follow Nico White on Instagram and check out his new special, Dark Out, on YouTube. Give him a subscribe on YouTube. Give us a subscribe on YouTube. And if you enjoyed the show, consider sharing it to your fucking story. Tell a friend about it. Send it to a friend. Join the Patreon. You can listen to every episode ad-free on the Patreon. And a new episode every single Friday. We're also doing a weight loss challenge together. We post every fucking day. So join the goddamn Patreon. That's patreon.com/levfur. Throw $5 to the show. 10 if you're horny. 25 if you're the 1%. And, you know, check out Dark Out on YouTube. We love you. Thanks for fucking listening. Nico, thank you for coming on, my dude.
Buddy, thank you for having me. You folks can find me on Instagram at NicoWhite93. That's at NicoWhite93. Check out Dark Out on YouTube, like Lev said. Y'all keep supporting the show and should find me on Venmo. Watch Dark Out to the end and you'll learn what that is.
Yeah. All right. We love you guys. Thank you, man. Nico, I'll talk to you soon, bro.
Yes, indeed, fam. Stay safe out here, bro.
All right, man.
All right. Later. Thank you.